Hey everyone, welcome to Past Lives and the Divine. I'm Gina, and this is the podcast where we enjoy the wonderful, empowering conversations about our connection with past lives and the divine out there and the divine inside each and every one of us. And we do this for healing and entertainment, of course. In today's episode, episode number 26, I am talking with Shanna Vavra, and she is the co-host of the podcast Sense of Soul. And so in our last episode, just the episode before this, we had on Mandy Nankis, and she is the other co-host of the Sense of Soul podcast. So I am so excited for you all to hear this conversation. So Shanna and I are specifically talking about a past life regression she did kind of at the same time that she was doing her ancestry, like the DNA, and then figuring out her tree. And when she had done the past life regression, she had like just started this process and hadn't gotten very far besides kind of getting a feel for, you know, where whatever the ancestry DNA tests show. So she had the past life regression and then goes about her regular life. And a few months later, I believe, or some time later passed, and she saw in her family tree some of the same people who were in her past life regression. Pretty crazy. So it's like where ancestral lines cross paths with your past life regression. And when I heard the story of Shanna's, I wanted to have this conversation with her. I think you all are really going to like it. So Shanna is a Reiki practitioner and does ancestry healing. She's also the co-host, like I said, of the Sense of Soul podcast. And that's a weekly podcast where Shanna and her co-host Mandy share their personal experiences on their journeys, which includes topics like the importance of self-love, soul versus ego, being an empath, synchronicity, past lives, healing, and much more. And in that much more, they do a lot of interviews with authors and speakers and healers, and it's just a plethora of information. So do check out their podcast. And you're going to really love this episode if you like to talk about past lives, which I'm assuming you do. So Shanna and I are going to dig deep into that past life regression, and then we're going to hop into how the ancestry portion of it kind of illuminated and validated some of the stuff in her past life regression. Okay. So the only announcement I have, the only request I have, is the same plea I have every episode, and that's to please leave a rating or review. And most of you listen on Apple Podcasts. I just looked that up. And if you would be so kind, if you have not yet, click the 5 stars. And if you're feeling really, really motivated, you could type in a little review and just let me know what you like about the podcast. I get an email every week that has like the different, the written up reviews and just kind of the stats on how my podcast is doing. And it just lights me up when I read those reviews. So if you're listening in the Apple Podcast app, hit pause, go to the show Past Lives and the Divine, scroll down, click the 5 stars, and I will love you forever. I actually love you forever just for listening. So I would like, I don't know, love you double. Thank you so much. Here is the most recent review. It's from MalHay1, and it says, "Insightful. Gina shares amazing experiences and has so much insight into connection with your higher self. Love the podcast so much that I did a past life regression session with her." Oh, I think I know who this is. "I highly recommend listening and becoming a client. I find her voice so soothing." Thank you so much for being here, and thank you so much for taking that time. I really do not take it for granted. The time you spend listening, the time you spend leaving a review or clicking the 5 stars, even though it's just a few seconds, and the time you spend for all the people who have reached out to me, sent me a direct message on Instagram, or sent me an email, and just let me know like your experience with the at-home past life journey, your experiences with past lives, your experiences just listening to the podcast, your reactions, your questions, your thoughts. I really do, as you've heard me say this before, I really do see this as like a our podcast thing. So it just lights me up when I can hear from you all. And because I sit in my office and record this all alone. So it's nice to hear the mind between the ears listening to my voice and what you all think. So thank you so much. Okay, No more announcements, no more intros. Let's dive into this interview. So gather around the fire for my interview with Shanna from the Sense of Soul podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so happy to have this conversation with you. I'm really excited to just like get in, just dig into it. So Shanna, can you open it up and you tell us like who is Shanna today? Just give us like a minute or two of snapshot of who you are.
Yeah, sure. First of all, I just want to say thank you for having me. This is such a pleasure. I love you, Gina. I love your podcast. But I am Shanna, and Shanna Vavra is my last name. I hardly ever say my last name. That's weird. But I am a co-host of a podcast as well, Sense of Soul. And Sense of Soul is not just a podcast. We also have a website. We do many things locally and also online. But Mandy is my co-host. And we have really dedicated our lives to helping others find their light and find their soul purpose in life. And so, I'm a mom. I am a mother of four. And before, that's all I would have told you if you would have said who is Shanna. So it's kind of exciting to have my own thing now in my 40s and finally like having my own.
Yeah, I love that. And you're in Aurora, Colorado. Is that correct?
I am in Aurora, Colorado. Yes.
Yes. And we had Mandy on the show the previous episode, two weeks ago. So thank you so much for having you here. Now, everybody, Shanna had this really great experience where, great experience, emotional experience, profound experience, where she had a past life regression, had an experience, lived a past life, saw it, very detailed. And then at the same time, kind of simultaneously and into the future, past that past life regression, she was doing the ancestry stuff and looking up her family tree and that sort of thing, and then noticed an intersection between her past life regression and her ancestry family tree. So because I could talk forever to Shanna about
and
this,
I could too.
I know. We're going to try to keep this conversation a reasonable length. So in order to do that, first, what we're going to do is dive into the past life regression. She's just going to give like some high level information, maybe some detail there, and then we'll go into the ancestry part of it, and then we'll kind of connect the dots there. So let's start with that. My first question for anybody who gets a past life regression, whether they're with me or not, is like, Shanna, if you could give us just kind of like a landscape of who you were, how long ago was this past life regression? Was it your first past life regression? And like, what was your intention going into the session?
Okay. So originally, I really didn't believe, I didn't give past lives much thought. So it actually was my youngest daughter who kind of triggered that, because she had spoke of two past lives before she was five.
Whoa.
And both of them were kind of detailed. And so I was like, wait, what? You know, you were a man? Like, you like unicorns and pretend you're a princess. Why would you want to be an old man? But I just kind of disregarded it because I really had not thought much about past lives. Although I was on my spiritual journey, I just, for some reason, I guess because of my Christian background, had never really thought too much of it.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's how it started. And so I was researching it and I read a few books of Brian Weiss's, who is an amazing author of many books about past lives. And so my curiosity was starting to spin a little bit. And around that same time, I was listening to some podcasts too about past lives and just thought it would be fun. You know, there was no intention really behind it at the time.
Okay.
I had booked it like far in advance, so she couldn't see me until May, which I actually on my birthday is when I got it done. This was in 2018.
Okay. Okay.
So it was a journey.
Very cool. So you went in there more like as curiosity, right?
Yeah.
Like going to be like, what am I going to see? Yeah. And I always think those are fun. Well, I think they're all fun, but I think those are fun because when we go in for curiosity, like we always get way more than we think we're going to get. It's my experience. Like when I first
started,
and just other first time clients who are just like, my intention is just like, what the fuck? Show me something. Here we go.
And because I am one of those people who don't like to wait for my gifts, like I'm the peeker, you know, or I gotta know, I did do some very deep meditations before that. I feel like I did kind of experience a regression in one of them that was very significant. And I wrote it down and I took note, but it was like, whatever. I mean, I felt like, well, I wasn't really with a therapist, so maybe it wasn't, you know, this or that. But it actually ended up also being pretty profound.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's dive into it. So it's your birthday. You go to see this past life regressionist. You sit down for your past life regression. What are kind of like, walk us through the scenes that you saw, and then not only like the scene, but kind of like what you were doing. And I know you saw some people who are in your orbit today as Shanna mm-hmm. in those scenes. So like call that out, but kind of walk us through like, where did you end up? What was the first scene?
Well, what's interesting is that I'm very clairvoyant. Okay. So, and also I had been practicing meditation for a few years. Okay. So I was able to really deeply relax. I mean, and that surprised me because I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
I had never been hypnotized like that before, but I easily did go under. It's like black. It's almost like you're in a movie theater. It's completely black. And all of a sudden, dun, da, da, you know, it starts playing the movie. And what was interesting is how all of my senses were very much heightened and on alert. So yeah. It wasn't like I remember in the first moments, not only being in a new place, but I could feel the heat. I could feel the humidity. And it wasn't surprising to me because I am from New Orleans, Louisiana. There I was in Louisiana. And so my ego was trying to come in a little bit because I remember thinking, wait a minute, am I making this up that I'm in New Orleans? And then her just continuing to bring me through it kind of took me out of that. So that was like at the beginning, because it was very interesting.
Yeah.
At the beginning, I could still feel a little ego in there, like a little bit of my conscious mind saying, wait a minute, did you make this up? You know, but
yes.
I got so lost in it. Then it was like no more. But that was interesting at the very beginning. I do have to point that out.
Yeah.
So there I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you felt that too?
Oh my God.
Like a little
I think
bit.
It took
okay.
me like 20 regressions where I was the client, where I was like, okay, that's how it is. I feel like I'm making it up.
Right.
And just like accepted it and just went with it. Otherwise it took me so long to be like, wait, am I making this up? Am I not making this up?
Yeah.
But yeah, listen, you sent me the recording for this past life
okay.
and I listened to it. I listened to it. It's Thursday. I listened to it on Tuesday and you can tell you're clairvoyant because just the picture and the way you described it was so
details,
vivid.
Right?
So vivid.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting to hear. Thank you for sharing that with me, that you thought that.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I've listened to some of yours that you've played on your podcast, but I haven't really been a part of really listening to anybody else's except for doing some work with my own clients. But, you know, I was feeling it all. I mean, down to the ground beneath my feet, you know, I could smell the magnolias. I could hear the water in the distance. So like I said, all of my senses were just super like spidey senses, which is great because that's kind of validating that discernment with me that yeah. here I was, even my body is feeling it. So it's not just happening, you know, in my mind, I'm actually yeah. physically feeling it. And so there I was on a side of the Mississippi River I had never seen. So that was interesting. I knew it was the Mississippi. That I knew. But I had never been in this area of Louisiana before. This was new to me, or not that I can remember or know in this current life.
Okay. But
and I was a woman.
Yeah,
I was okay. a woman, by the way. And I was in about 30. I was like around 30 years old, around there, I think I was. And it was also in the 1800s.
Okay. So in that scene, and I know a lot of, and I don't remember exactly, but I think so. In a lot of first time scenes that people see, it's almost just like I'm standing alone and I'm outside somewhere. And okay. It's almost like the subconscious mind is trying to be like, okay, how does this work? Right. And so did anything happen in that scene? I don't remember.
No, you're right.
Like getting a lay of the land, right?
Oh my gosh, that is so weird. Yes, that's exactly what it was. It was like an introduction to ta-da, the beginning scene. Yes. Here's where you are.
Yeah, and I find that so important because there is always a lot of doubt, like, am I making this up? Yeah. And I feel like spirit guides, your higher self, the universe, whatever, kind of puts these scenes in there where people are like, wait, you know, just like you said, you grew up in, you've been to New Orleans, you're familiar with that space, and you've obviously been to the Mississippi, but you've never seen it from this angle. And I feel
not like from that angle. Now, I have always said that I owe my life to the Mississippi River. My mom and dad met on a riverboat on the Mississippi River. So I've always had this very deep, soulful connection to the Mississippi. And, you know, I love New Orleans so much. It was a big part of my life. And whenever I even fly into New Orleans, I'm crying already because I know I have to leave it. And so, yeah, I've always felt that that's where my soul belongs. I cry like a baby when I have to leave. Everyone knows I do. We all do. My whole family. It's just something that we all do. But yeah, it's my soul, like, just longs to be there.
Yeah. So then what happened in the next scene?
In the next scene, I realized that I think I was on a plantation. So I think I realized that I was on a plantation. I think that was the next scene.
Yeah. And you can just go with whatever comes into your mind.
You know what's fine? Okay, cool. So I was on a plantation and I realized that this was also during the time of slaves.
Okay.
And I felt all kinds of emotions about this. So I was feeling guilt. I was feeling shame. I was feeling sad and I was feeling very helpless. Like, I feel like I wanted to help them, but there was really nothing I could do in the position I was. I was a woman, and that was another thing that I was realizing, that I'm not in 2018, so, like, I'm not able to say the things that I'm feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was interesting because I don't think I've ever, even though I am a woman who comes from a very Southern family who does have those traits that are carried down of the caregiver and the man does everything, the woman stays at home barefoot, pregnant, and serves. But yeah, but, you know, I've never felt that quieted. You know, like there was nothing I could do for anything or anybody, and I just knew my place.
And what was your place? Like, who were you on this plantation?
So I figured out that I was the sister of the plantation owner. And the plantation owner was, he was a good man. He was my brother. He was a very good man. He was successful. He was very good to his slaves as well, which I thought was odd at first because I wasn't sure what to expect from a plantation owner. You know, you watch tons of movies. You know, at that point, I hadn't even watched a lot of movies. I had watched Gone with the Wind, you know, just a few of them. And actually, I don't think that we were actually taught a lot in history in school about a lot of the truth that went on during slavery. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know what to expect. I'd never been in 1800 on a plantation. However, so I was kind of shocked that he was kind of kind, I guess is what I'm saying. He was. And he had a wife, and she was not as kind. And you could tell she was kind of like a gold digger kind of person, you know? And she didn't really care for me. And I was very simple compared to her. So I did have a husband. He was also my cousin. Mm-hmm. And his mother is the one who actually originally owned this plantation and this farm.
Oh, okay.
But she lived in New Orleans, the city. And this is why I had to marry the guy, because you know, he wasn't good enough to like own the farm, but he had to be like part of it. And he was not very nice to the slaves, and he wasn't nice to me either. So this is like, I was like, whoa, but my brother kept me safe. And so that was, I stayed by him and I felt very close to him, and he felt very familiar to me.
And was that familiarity part of like familiarity from your life as Shanna?
Yes. And what's weird is that he didn't necessarily look like anybody in my current life. I just had this knowing.
Yes.
Just, yeah. I sensed his energy, felt very familiar. And in my mind, I was starting to work out in ways who I thought it was as okay. the regression went on. Because my regression was pretty long. There was also another person in my regression that was very familiar to me as well. And again, didn't look like her, but he knew 100% it was her. And it was my cousin Robin, who I'm very close with in this life. She lives in New Orleans.
Okay.
But in the past life regression, her name was Ellie, and she lived in the house with me. And it wasn't until like midway did I understand that she was a slave.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that yeah. was really emotional for you when you realized
yes.
that she was a slave in the house.
Yeah, I have goosebumps actually just talking about it. That's another weird thing. Like I re-listened to the regression for this, and I cried like a lot.
Yeah,
as I listened,
how those emotions stay with you.
Yes, I literally felt like I was visiting a memory in this life that was yeah. hard to, you know, to see and to come to terms with. And so Ellie was a slave, but she was very light skinned. And then it dawned on me that she was my cousin, and as well. And I'm like, holy shit.
So she's a now, cousin in that past life.
She was a cousin in okay. my past life as well, and we owned her.
Mm.
Yes, which was like, wow, are you kidding me? And again, at this point, I knew very, very little about slavery, plantations, or anything. So everything is shocking to me, and it was very emotional. So, yeah. So, I mean, I do think that there was some other things that were familiar, as in like children maybe, but nothing that was like 100% sure. But those two people, my brother and Ellie, were the two that most stuck out to me, as I knew that energy before. I know it now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, at least from my personal experience and my experience with what my clients say, is like mm-hmm. when we encounter someone from this life, like their soul is with us in a past life, people will say like they don't look like them, but they feel familiar. They feel like this person. And sometimes that feeling is like how they make us feel. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's like how we feel about them, whether it's, you know, whatever, what, no matter where the feelings are coming from, like it feels familiar. And so that's interesting, even as someone who's clairvoyant, that for you too, the face wasn't super clear, or they didn't necessarily look exactly like them. Because there are people who, when they notice familiar people from their current life, in the past life, there are people who are like, ooh, it looked like them. Mm-hmm. Or when people are like, oh, I was this army general or whatever, someone you could actually Google, and you look it up, and there are stories and people have written books about how similar they yeah. do look. Like they right. actually look like each other. Mm-hmm. And even if it's just subtle, like, ooh, right. if someone was like, you're part of the same family. So I thought that was interesting. Okay. So
I did have that with myself when I looked in my eyes.
Oh, you so there, saw there, yourself?
Yeah. There is a point that I looked in a mirror at the very end, towards the end of my life. And when I looked in the mirror, I looked like my mama, my grandma, that's what we call her in New Orleans. Oh, and I was like, but then I looked in my eyes and I recognized myself. And I was like, whoa, wow.
Trippy.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was cool.
Okay. So in that past life regression, you looked in a mirror.
I did. Well, okay. It was towards the end of my life.
Okay.
But yes. Mm-hmm.
So what else of significance happened in that past life?
So she fast me forward. And what I thought was just so crazy is I was in the city of New Orleans. So this is more familiar to me, right? Because I don't know where I was on a plantation, but I have been many, you know, times to the city. So there I am in the city, but there's a train in front of me, like a full-blown train. And actually, I should go back and research that and see if there was like a full-blown. I bet there was. I mean, I know there's, you know, there's the streetcars there, but this wasn't a streetcar. I was in the city. I was holding a little boy's hand and he was dressed for the timeline. And we were waiting for somebody very significant. And actually, this is the first time I actually meet my brother, because I knew I was on my brother's plantation prior, but I hadn't met him yet. He was off somewhere, you know, working or whatever. So, and actually I'm standing there waiting and I can feel excited, but I don't even know who's coming on, you know, coming off the train. I have no idea, but I know that it's someone I'm excited for. I know that it's someone significant. And at that point, I didn't even know if it was like my husband or anybody. So there he walks off and he's also dressed for the time, like to the T. And I knew, oh my God, I just felt like this, it's my brother, you know? And I was so happy. And it was very weird, but even more than that was kind of like the moment where I said, gosh, I think I know him. And that was very strong. I just felt like very protective of him, just kind of like I feel in this life. Mm-hmm. I adored him like I do to this person in this life. And so I was really connected to, oh my gosh, I know who this is.
Okay. So your brother in that past life is a friend or someone you grew up with in this life as Shanna, correct?
Well, I didn't grow up with him, but I met him. I mean, we've been in the same city and have kind of like known of each other for a long time, but we've known each other for about 12 years.
Okay. Okay. So mm-hmm. You've known each other a while.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, and you and I talked about this a little bit, and something I talk about with clients is like, when we see someone from a past life who like meant a lot to us, like in a positive mm-hmm. way, a lot of times we can feel almost like this magnetism or attraction to them. And I think when humans programmed as they are in 2020, third dimension, United States anyways, when we feel that attraction right away, we're like, romantic, this is my person, mm-hmm. the gender that you would be romantic with. And tell me how that played into it, like as much as you want to say.
I will, because that's a very strange thing. Because yes, exactly like you said, there was this immediate attraction. And we just think each attraction and, you know, wow, you know, that guy is handsome. There's so many things, you know, that we have in common mm-hmm. and all of these strong feelings between us and all these weird, you know, coincidences that just can't be coincidences. But yeah, I felt so strong. You know, it was almost like, oh, must be soulmate kind of stuff, right? Or twin flame kind of stuff. But you know what? It never really felt that way, which was weird because people are, why? I mean, like perfect guy, you know, whatever. Yeah. No, but you know, it's just, and in fact, many times I thought, gosh, this is way before the regression. I felt like motherly towards him even.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like protective. So mm-hmm. yeah, strange. Otherwise, I don't know what's wrong with me. Someone should hit me upside the head because the guy is like drop dead gorgeous and amazing. So, I mean, but you know, it's like with my significant other now, there's a totally different connection. It's like there's a romantic connection and a, you know, that passion between people. And yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah. Like you can feel that difference.
Totally. Yeah.
Total difference. Are magnetic on different levels.
Yeah.
So, and I'm totally projecting because as someone who dated many people, me, before I met my guy, I feel like at times, like there would be certain people where I would have a connection with where it was just like, I'm trying to understand this, whether it was like, wow, I thought we would have a better connection because of what I felt. And then it just kind of falls flat, or wow, you ignite something in me that makes me want to run in the other direction when I get to know you more. But like, when you saw this person in your past life and was like, oh, I feel so strongly toward him and he's my brother in this past life. When you came out of that past life regression, we're going about your day-to-day life, and maybe you weren't, not saying you were like even obsessing about it or thinking about it a lot, but sometimes when I am wondering about something, wondering, and it doesn't ever get resolved, it's there and I'm thinking about it. And when it gets resolved, when I can understand it, understand why things are the way they are, even on some level to give me some sort of closure, maybe, that helps me kind of like, okay, that's what that is, moving on.
Oh my gosh, that happened for me.
Okay, so what was the last scene, or how did this past life regression end? How did you leave that past life experience?
Okay, so I do have to say that my significant other now was also, I believe, there, but he wasn't very kind there. And so we'll leave it at that. Because I don't even like talking about it. That's how yucky it was. Yeah. But you know, and I've been with him, I've known him since second grade. Like we're like magnetic. And so, and even with that is a weird sort of relationship. Cause I do feel like it's a strange thing. How I feel for him. Cause I just feel like he's family almost too. Isn't that weird? Like not significant other family. I'm talking about, I feel like, yeah, we'll be together forever. I know that you're part of this. Kind of like I feel about Mandy, who was not in my regression, which I was surprised about, because same way.
Yeah, like where you just know, like this connection is deeper than our this life experience.
And like he's never going anywhere and I'm never going anywhere. So it's just,
yeah,
too bad. You're stuck. Okay, you're forever going to be with this person, probably for many lifetimes.
So walk me through kind of like how that past life regression ended. And then even if you, even if you pulled out at the time, if you were like, oh, I got this kind of healing or I felt better, or was it just like, wow, curiosity peaked, I'm going to do a little more? Or how did that end for you? Like not only the past life scenes, but then just like, how did Shanna come out of it?
Yeah. So everyone, you know, it was in the 1800s. So most of my sons were off to war and the men. And Ellie and I would pray. We would kneel and pray and kneel and pray together for our sons. And that was very interesting because her and I in this life have prayed many times together. I think that was kind of some of the moments where I knew it was her, you know, just really feeling that it was her. And I, towards the end, was alone, and a lot of my children had died. I had several children. Only a few of them did I actually see in the scenes, but knowing that I had a lot of children, and I was old. I did die of old age.
Okay.
And I was laying on a bed, but I did look at myself in one scene right before that. And that's when I saw this old face, and it was my grandma's face. And I thought it was, I cried then too, because it reminded me of her. And, you know, I felt I was on a bed, and I just kind of silently kind of just went to sleep. There was no pain or anything. Maybe I was sleeping and died. This is what I assume. But I felt like I was going up kind of like a funnel, like the squeezing through that small little thing. And then it just opened up. And I think that I was thinking Archangel Michael would greet me. I think that I had that assumption somehow because he was a big part of my meditation practice. But here comes in this dude that I've seen before. His name is David, and he's a monk. And in many meditations, he's been there. And he would never talk. And then just like, I remember laughing because thinking, what good is a spirit guide? He's so cute and smiles. And sometimes he'll sit in front of me. And I had had him for a good maybe 2-3 years. And I'd never gotten much out of him. But there he was to greet me. And I was surprised about that too. My dad's died. Well, I guess my dad died in this life. So, but I don't know. I just was expecting heaven to be for me. Like, I thought I was going to be greeted by, like, I don't know, like a huge freaking family. I don't know. But here's this monk, this monk who doesn't speak. And his name is David. I do know that. And boy, did he have a lot to say. And I had forgotten this, I guess, until recently, is that I was going through a period where I'd meditate in the morning once I got the kids off to school, and then I would write and I would write and I would write, and I couldn't stop. Sometimes I would have to force myself, and then I'd read it and I'd be like, man, this is some good shit. This is so amazing. Like, who wrote this? And sometimes it had nothing to do with me or my life. Well, David, he tells me that he's been talking to me the whole time.
You know what? That is so common where people are like, I want to connect with my spirit guides. And then their spirit guides are like, yo, we connect all the time. And then the person is like, oh, that's you.
I couldn't believe that. Was that your experience?
Or did you have an inkling that this is how you're connecting with your guides?
You know, I thought that it was coming from a spiritual place, but to actually know that it was David, you know, the monk who doesn't speak to me. Yeah, that was surprising. That was super surprising. And another surprising thing is he actually called me by my spiritual name. He called me by my soul's name.
Wow.
Yeah, that was interesting. So in the way he said it was kind of funny, but it was Nia. And yeah. And I didn't know anyone named Nia or anything like that. I didn't know where that came from. Even David himself, since I have done that regression, has kind of revealed himself more to me. And I believe I knew David in a past life.
Ooh.
I think, yeah. So I did have that deep meditation regression that I went through. And in that one, I'll just tell you real quickly about that one. But I was in Austria. It was 1432. I was a Franciscan nun. And since then, I've been trying to figure out that life just through meditation and through drumming and stuff. And I'm pretty sure it's been revealed to me that David actually was there in that life with me.
Wow.
I know.
I love that.
I think he was a Franciscan monk, and which is a thing. And I looked it up, and that's exactly what he looks like.
Okay. So I have this, like, someday I will organize it, but I almost want to do, whether it's a podcast episode or something else, but like a panel of people who have relationships with their spirit guides. Like, they've encountered them many times. They rely on them. Like, they have, the relationship's got some characteristics to it, right? Like, you've had enough interactions. And I just want to ask, like, when you talk about David, I have like 1,000 questions, but I need to like nail myself to the outline. But that, it's so interesting to me. And even this idea, because it's a question that I get, and my answer is like, I don't know, probably, is like our spirit guides, souls that have been on earth. Like, have we had past lives with them? And I do think that whether it's a full-on past life or they just come in to like pop in and, you know, stop a car from slamming into you or like helping you in a situation where you need it. And then they're like, poof, gone. Everyone saw them, but no one knows who they are type of situation. All of that is incredibly interesting to me. So that's what I'll say about that. So I'll be knocking on your door.
Well, you know, they may manifest themselves as something familiar, so you feel comfortable too.
Yes. That's a really good point. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, you and I will have to continue that conversation.
Yeah. I just realized that about him, like probably over the last few months, that I really do think he was probably part of that regression. I'm being called to go back to that.
Yeah. Do it. Okay. So you move out of this past life regression. And it's my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, but you had done like the ancestry DNA thing?
Yeah. So I had got my results back actually in April.
And then you did the regression in May.
I did the regression in May. And when I got my results back, it was a shock. I mean, it was a huge life changer for me, but I hadn't really dug into any of it yet because I hit roadblocks. And I was like, okay. So when I did my ancestry, do you want me to talk about that now?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I did the ancestry, I assumed that, you know, there might be some things that I didn't know, right? I mean, of course. I'm from Louisiana too, so, you know, you don't have to be a genius. And I get my results back and I find out that I'm 21% Black, which is not that surprising to me, right? Because, I mean, just think about the history. However, I was matched with 900 or something, or almost like 1,000 people. You know, they match your DNA. And I was like, who are these people? I'd never heard of not one person, not one last name. No, none of them. And they're all my cousins. And they're all in Louisiana. And I'm just like, what is this? So I send to the one cousin, Robin or Ellie, which whoever you want to call her in this life, who I can trust. And I say, you know, first of all, you're Black. Congratulations. And second of all, we're related to all these people we don't know. And she's like, well, no, that can't be. Those are French Creoles. We're not French Creole. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. We are.
Yeah. And previously you had identified as white. You thought French and Italian.
French and I have a large family. My mom's one of seven. Her mom is one of five, you know, deeply rooted in Louisiana, huge family, lots of children. We're Catholic, lots of children. You know, I'm like, okay, well, let me try to put the tree together. And I can't find my grandparents. You know, I'm just like, this is strange. I can't find anybody. And I was just like, this is weird. I did end up finding my papa's family, and his went a little bit faster, but I could not find my grandma. So I was Googling her, you know, trying to find any kind of records. And here she's in a book. A book that was just written 2 weeks prior that had just been released.
Holy moly.
So I'm like, why the hell is my family in this person's book? Well, it's a Creole book. It's called Casbon Creoles. So I emailed her. And I'm like, why is my grandma in your book? You know, what's the deal? And she's like, do you have a minute? Like, sit down and I'll tell you. And she called me up and she said, you know what? You have a very, very rich history and story. And she said, I'm willing to share with you. And so what I ended up finding out is my great grandma passed as white in the 1940s.
Okay.
Once I started getting into it, I was able to see how she did it on her birth certificate and her baptism and, you know, and you could see how the names start changing and this and that. But back then, if you had any ancestors, because the one drop rule, if you have any ancestors that had ever claimed to be either Black or even at the time mulatto or free man of color, free woman of color, you were Black. So once America bought Louisiana, they said, oh, we don't have these in between races anymore. And the French Creole people always fit in that category. They were always mixed and they were the majority of Louisiana. You know, it was the majority of the people that owned the land. There were politicians, business owners, and they wiped out that culture when they did that. But if you were as white as I am in 1940 living in Louisiana, the last thing you wanted to do was be Black because it was extremely segregated and racist. So they said if you were lighter than a paper bag, which she was, you could get away with passing as white. And so that's what she did. She changed her name. She changed her children's names, which is how I was unable. That's why I couldn't find my grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
And they moved from Plaquemines Parish and they moved to New Orleans, the city, and never to tell anyone until 85 years later when I take the test and discover this.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. And something that you talked about, and if you remember the episode number, just yell it out. But on your podcast, your and Mandy's podcast, Sense of Soul, you do a podcast episode, you've done a podcast episode on this and talked really in depth about it. And one of the things that I thought was so fucking cool and crazy was the fact that when you were doing that digging, like looking up all these records on these people in your family tree, you were able to look at a document that was written in French and you knew what it said. And you don't
correct. That was so weird. No, that was so weird, right? So it was really the past life regression that triggered me to want to look further. And the more I was looking into it, the more I was seeing the scenes of the past life regression. And I was like,
while you're doing the ancestry.
Yes, because I have so many plantation owners. And I was like, holy shit. So I was trying to get as much information. I was so almost obsessed. Like, so when you say, did the past life regression actually resolve anything? Not really, not at that time anyways, because that really triggered me to really dig into this. And like I said, the more I was reading all this stuff and digging, I was seeing it. My clairvoyancy was going bananas. I mean, I even found slave records that actually in my family that they owned an Ellie, you know, stuff like that. And she went to Plaquemines Parish Court and she said, my great-great-grandfather had died so that she should be freed, but his son was keeping her, that kind of stuff. And her name was Ellie. This is after the fact. This is months, almost probably a year after. But that kind of stuff triggered me back to my past life. Like, was that Ellie? This is weird, right? But everything, a lot of the documents were in French. Now, I took like 1 year of French, like in seventh grade or something, I think. But I could literally read French during that time.
That's
like
wild.
I totally fine read it. Like I understood everything it was saying. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I know.
So was Ellie, what other, so Ellie in that past life, do you get a sense who you were in that past life as Ellie's cousin, as the sister to the plantation manager or owner? Did you get a sense of your name? And is that a name that you saw in the family tree? Or did any other coincidences where they kind of intersect?
You know, that's a good question. I don't feel like I ever understood who I was necessarily. I don't.
Okay.
And I don't even know, I haven't really connected necessarily which even lineage it might be. Now, if I looked at Ellie, when I did look at Ellie, that kind of just perked me up. I was like, wait, this was this plantation over here. And, you know, I was trying to see if there was like some commonalities to what I was describing in the past life regression, which there is, but that could be many plantations, right? So I kind of let it go and I did a lot of healing. You know, I was healing all of these lines. I mean, I had a grandma, her name is Slave of Therese. She doesn't even have a name, you know? So I went on this crazy exploration. I was determined. I'm going to find her name. I'm going to find out who she is, you know, stuff like that. I was going down all these rabbit holes, but I wouldn't stop until I would, you know, have some resolution. And with each part of that, I was being healed and healed and healed. It was amazing. It was crazy. I started to just see the characteristics in them, in myself now. It was just unbelievable. But about, let's see, this past December, you know, every once in a while, you will be updated with your DNA matches. They'll say, oh, you know, you got new matches, you know. And I think at this point, I've got thousands. They're all French Creoles. They're all related. So I end up seeing, so you know the brother in the past life regression? Mm-hmm. So I end up seeing his mother's in this life. So in this life, I end up seeing his mother's last name on one of my matches. I was like, oh, that's crazy. No, it couldn't, you know, no. Yeah. I hit on it and I was like, holy shit. My new DNA cousin that pops up is his mom's cousin. Yeah.
Whoa.
So I'm like, okay, now that's weird. So we're related. I'm like, that's no wonder, you know? And then so what I did is I took his cousin and me and saw who was the common ancestor, right? Well, guess what? It was a plantation owner. It was Ambrose Haydell, who is the original builder of the Whitney Plantation. The Whitney Plantation is even still in Louisiana. You can go do tours in it. But that Ambrose Haydell was the common ancestor, and he also is a plantation owner. So I take the plantation owner, because, you know, I'm still got to prove this to me that this is right. I'm like, pinch me, there's no way. So I take him and I go down and I do a tree for me and I do a tree for him. And sure enough, we're cousins. And so, and only like 10th cousins. And I say only, like, far enough to where your children aren't going to be, you know, I don't know. Or, you know, so yeah, but close enough to be like, wow, you know, we're like family. So
that is so interesting.
I know.
Just like all of the crossings between the people in your past life and how they show up in your family tree. When you think of, and what I want to, so, okay, I have a few questions, but my next question that I'll ask is, when you think of how the knowledge you felt you had about yourself, about the past life regression, when you came out of that past life regression, and then you can see in your mind's eye now all the ancestry.com and just the more scenes of the past life regression that came in.
Yeah.
Do you get a sense of, like, when I ask you this question, and this is impromptu, it's coming in right mm-hmm. now, you don't have it, but like, why, something I always ask my clients at the end of the past life scenes is, why was this client shown this past life, right? Because mm-hmm. I can look at their intention statement mm-hmm. and I can look at what I think they saw just based on what they told me. And what that does is it, like, I can assume in my human mind why they saw this past life, but I always ask that question because I'd say 8 times out of 10, I get like answers that I would have never put together, right? Because mm-hmm. I don't know this person's entire life and I don't know everything they're experiencing in the past life regression. As yeah. you know, like when you listen to it, the stuff you're saying is maybe like 10 or 20% of the stuff that you're actually experiencing. And so when you think back to that, knowing where you are now and all the information you've got in the ancestry stuff and in the past life regression and how they've kind of intersected, what's your best guess today? Why did you choose that past life?
I know. I definitely know why. So this person and I have been working together for a long time. Like, I work with him on an energetic level. He's like a client of mine.
So this friend who was your brother in the past life?
Yes. He okay. also then kind of became someone who I even more felt that I cared for on a spiritual level. Okay. You know, because, you know, I do Reiki, so you do mm-hmm. a lot of energy work with him and stuff like this. So I have already felt like I know his soul, right? So that was another, I think, thing that when I saw him in my past life regression, I knew it was him because I already know his soul very, very much, you know, by working on it. Yeah. I know that sounds funny, but truly I do.
It doesn't sound funny.
I think I was always very confused about our connection. Like, am I supposed to be with him? Is he my twin flame? Am I supposed to, you know, have I chose the wrong path or life? You know, that was confusion for me. But here's the thing. This is what I've come to. Even if he is, I know that we'll have many more lives together. I'm totally good. Like, I just want happiness for the people who in my life, whether I end up with them or not. I've really learned about attachment, I think, from that. To not be so attached to people who you love, because you know what? You'll spend many, many, many lives with them. And really all that it matters is that you're happy in this life and that they're happy in this life, you hope. But to not be so attached to all of the, like you said at the beginning, kind of like when you start going down rabbit holes because of, oh, that's a coincidence. Maybe, oh, we both like red. Maybe that. You can get kind of like obsessed with those things. And this was a very... Yes, this is very clear to show me the relationship of what it was, what it is, and in the future, what it will be as well.
Yeah, yeah. And so when you think of that person in your life now, and that understanding, if the feelings of like a little bit of confusion and just wondering mm-hmm. before, and now if it's I'm gone. Hearing you correctly, it's just like peace and
yeah, you want it is what it is. Person. Absolutely. Yeah. Where before I was like, shit, like, am I living a life I'm not supposed to? Was I supposed to do something else or be someone else? You know, which is terrible. I mean, to not really understand your identity and your purpose. And I think that this also was a huge sign for me to dig further into my ancestry, that healing was going to be in there. And I could always go back to validate the feelings I was feeling. I used them both. I couldn't just say that I was using my ancestry to validate my past life. I was using my past life regression to validate what I was learning in my regression. I learned so much about history in that regression that I had never knew or seen, but then it was validated by truths that I was reading that I had never ever known, and nor does most of America.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
Isn't that crazy?
Incredibly unique. You know, it's a story I've never heard anything like that before. And so on a personal level, between your ancestry work and the past life regression and just each of them validating each other, one of the things that I think all of us as souls on this planet, it always serves us in our highest and best, the more we can get to know who we are, right? Because it's from there that we can tell people what we need, and we can protect ourselves when we need to, and we can make better decisions because we're more in alignment. And in alignment is such a phrase now, but it's really just like, you know who the fuck you are, so you know what you need and want. Which seems so simple and like such a no-brainer, but most of us just don't have that. And then we're surrounded by a culture that's constantly promoting things, which is a whole other thing, right? Good, bad, whatever. But like, the point I'm making is that it creates the space of a lot of added confusion and promotion of like going down the wrong path, checking all these boxes that don't really make us happy.
And yeah.
If you wouldn't mind sharing, just like, this is also just kind of popping in, but like, when you think of the term, like the idea of getting to know yourself, what was the gift of the past life regression, the ancestry, the intersection of the two? What was the greatest, you experienced so much validation and so much knowing and uncovering. But like, for you personally, what do you take in your heart? Is it just a sense of knowing yourself more, or was there something else?
Oh God. It is when you said greatest, this is literally the greatest healing that my soul has ever, probably maybe ever experienced. Definitely in this life. And I'll tell you why. So here's the thing. Like I said, I had been meditating so I could easily get there. And I was really living up in this space, this relaxation. I could meditate in 2 seconds. I could bring myself there because it was like an escape. It was a vacation. And once I discovered that, I'm like, oh yeah, fuck yeah. That's where I'm going to be. See you guys in a bit. You know, I'm going
happy
to my
hour? No, I'm going to my happy place. Fuck
up. Oh, yeah. So I really enjoyed that. But the thing was, is that I have 4 kids. I live in, you know, the 2000s. I have a job. I have to run around. I can't live up there, but I really wanted to. And I was really exploring a lot of that, the spiritual part of Shanna, which was great. But the thing that was calling me was my roots. My roots were like, hello, you have to be grounded here on earth. This is where you are. You can't live in another dimension. So you have a spiritual awakening. Fine. I was definitely in a spiritual awakening, but I was being called by Mother Earth, by my roots, my ancestors, to bring myself back down. Otherwise you're not going to have any balance. And so this has been a root or ancestral awakening or past, I wouldn't just say, so it's past life, ancestors, all those things for me are what keep you grounded. So however deep that's going to take you, I didn't realize how deep it was going to take me. I had no idea. I thought maybe I could just get some root chakra work and we'll just get that going in the right direction and do some little grounding exercises with some roots at the bottom of my feet. Oh, hell no, it just went way further than that. But what I realized is that I am not just a soul. I am in this physical body. I am this, something made this body. And everything before me, all the trauma, whether it was in a past life or in my ancestry, all those things made who I am today. But I have to connect with it to further understand who I am and my purpose. So once I did, it was like a weight had lifted off of me. It was like layers coming off, one, two. And not only did I heal myself in this life and I felt lighter and connected to earth and grounded for the very first time in my life, but I realized that just by acknowledging maybe what I had went through in a past life or my ancestors, what they had to go through, I gave that a purpose. Everything that they went through made me who I am, everything. And yeah. If they would have just chose one thing differently, I wouldn't exist. So I have to accept all of it. So learning from their mistakes, even learning from who they were and how far I've come. I mean, I come from a woman named Slave of Therese, right? Her husband was a white plantation master. You know, when you think about that, you know, and here I am speaking on this. They one time were having dreams of someone like me who would speak and be proud of who they were, who didn't have to be lighter than a paper bag, you know, who didn't have to be ashamed of who they were. So not only did I need to read it in French or whatever, I needed to experience it also in my past life regression to know what it felt like to be in there. Yeah. That made it so much more fucking real. It's like reading a book or actually going into the book, you know, or reading about a place and going to it. You know, it's a totally different experience. So that really just helped fuel the healing. And I'll never be the same ever, ever, ever. My ancestors, I feel them constantly supporting me. And I do, I think visually back to my past life regression whenever I talk about that time.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. It is. I think everyone should do it. I mean, because you know what? Think about it. This is where we are. We're on Earth. Someone made you.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I, like you said, when you start going back in the family tree and you, what was really, I've done it just a smidge, but what was really interesting to me was like, how many, those fucking relatives add up quick. You know what I mean? Like, sure, right, I have four grandparents. But for every grandparent, like they have four grandparents. And it's like pretty soon we're talking like, and I actually saw someone do the numbers on that, like your fifth great grandparents, it's this many people. And they were speaking to the fact of like, that's a lot of trauma, right? Is it epigenetics where they like can see trauma being stored in DNA and then that gets passed down and all of that stuff.
When I want to make that clear, Gina, I thought about that. I'm like, is my past life what I'm visualizing? Is that just something that's in my DNA, like a muscle memory kind of thing that I'm having? And I'll tell you why it wasn't. Okay. Yeah. Because of the synchronicities with the person here. It's because of the synchronicities and the connections that I have here with the physical people here that I also had with there. That doesn't happen in my DNA or my gene. You know what I mean? I can't have memories of somebody I'm talking to right now across from me.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? There, and just all the weird coincidences and you know, all these huge, like, well, I can't even call them, you know, coincidences, but there were so many. And those things come from outside of me. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where I got with that. Because otherwise I was thinking, am I just recalling muscle memory or like memory of DNA?
Yeah. Yeah. That's such an interesting, I don't know a lot about it, but when I hear people talk about it, it's one of those things where I'm like, ooh, I don't know enough to speak about this, but hearing about other people's experience and all of, and just exactly what you just said there, like, yeah, maybe some of it, but like some of it, you just can't, it's like external.
Maybe my personality traits and the way I look and stuff like that. And yeah, but so the outside stuff that has connected me to it, that's outside of me. So there's no way that could actually be in my DNA memory.
Sure. Okay, so let's land this plane. What's your favorite way to connect with people? Like, are you a Facebook person, an Instagram person? I'm going to link your podcast and your website in the show notes so you guys can click there. But where do you want to meet with people? If anyone has like questions for you or anything like that?
Yeah, well, they can always reach me at senseofsoul@yahoo.com is my email. Or just on our Sense of Soul SOS Facebook. I'm more of a Facebook person, my kids say, because only old people use Facebook, and I'm one of those old people now, I guess.
Like, I remember when it was, like, hot.
I know. You're so good at Instagram. I suck at Instagram. Thank God for Mandy. She's a little bit more. I know. But, yeah, I guess Facebook or email. Or yeah. Our website. So our website is mysenseofsoul.com. And I actually do all the website stuff, so I'm on there the most. So if they ever want to reach me through that way, it's fine too.
Well, great. And I'll link that stuff in the show notes as well. Thank you so much, Shanna. This has been great.
Oh, I appreciate you so much. I love you. Thank you.
Well, there it is. That is our episode for today. And I can't thank you enough for being in my orbit, listening to this podcast, indulging in these conversations with me. My favorite part of these conversations, as you know, is talking to people like you about it. And I'd love to hear your reactions, your questions about all of this. So let me know over on Instagram. I am pastlives.tourguide. If you liked this episode, subscribe, rate, review. And if you were listening and you thought, man, this friend of mine would really enjoy this topic, would really enjoy this story, please forward the episode to your friend. That is like the best way for me to get a new listener. Ratings and reviews, I appreciate them. It shows Apple that, like, hey, I'm popular enough, put this podcast in front of other people. But it really just, it warms my heart on a whole other level when I know when someone's like, hey, my friend showed me this podcast and I just love it. And here's my reactions to it. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being open to the power of our past lives and all of our collective eternal soul experiences while we walk this earth together. As always, take anything from this episode that makes you feel better and just leave the rest.